Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is our first ever Real Talk Rangers podcast. Just want to thank all the listeners for joining us today. We're fortunate to have some big news to start with. So as Rangers Nation already knows and is completely well aware of, we have signed Jimmy Vesey. Vesey Watch is over, officially. And we are the big winners. So, you know, well, congrats on that to Jeff Gordon. He's been doing some good work. That's another topic we'll get into. But for today, we just want to talk about the main event, about Jimmy Vesey. It is a big signing. It's an enormous signing, in my opinion. Derek, what do you think?
So I'd like to go back to the way beginning, about a month ago, when we started hearing about Jimmy Vesey. We didn't really know much about him. You know he's a good player. He's a Hobie Baker winner, all that good stuff. There's a few teams in the mix. Who was it? We got the Rangers. We got Chicago. We got Toronto.
Boston.
The hometown VC.
Mm-hmm.
And the Devils, which I never really thought they were in the running. So basically, yesterday or 2 days ago, we started thinking about reading on Twitter, saying, oh, you know, it's basically coming down to Chicago and the Rangers. Obviously got us very excited. I'm thinking to myself, Chicago's a great team. He's probably going to end up there. End of the story.
Exactly. Especially when you hear Patrick Kane's in the room.
Yeah, I mean,
probably flashing some rings.
I mean, if I'm VC, I'm thinking to myself, I can't pass up a chance to play with Patty Kane and Jonathan Toews.
That's tough.
And probably win a cup in, probably next year. I don't know.
Probably.
But, you hear that on Twitter. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, it's, no, his agent says all the teams are still in the mix, including the Bruins and all that stuff. So you don't really know. And then I'm sitting around doing absolutely nothing, looking at my phone, and it's all of a sudden it's official. Jimmy Vesey signed with the Rangers, and I don't know, I couldn't believe it. It's one of those moments you sit there and you think, I'm probably going to remember where I was the rest of my life when Jimmy Vesey
hopefully
signed. I mean, if he becomes an all-star, who knows?
But I would love to be able to say that. Yeah, I remember where I was when they signed the guy.
But then thinking back on it, does anyone remember when, like, Hank was signed? Anything
no.
like that? No one remembers.
I don't think Slats remembers that.
So we don't really know. But then, so what made him come to the Rangers?
Yeah, that's really the meat of it. I mean, you get to the point where, and if it was truly in between the two major teams, being ourselves, New York Rangers, and the Chicago Blackhawks, then you know you really have to think that there were some real connections, that Gordon made some kind of a Herb Brooks-esque speech in there. Because, you know, when you're going against a team they were pretty much a dynasty, let's face it, in the recent years, they've been right in it.
Could it have something to do with Glenn Sather's cigar at all?
It could.
I don't know.
It could.
It could have chomping
it
on
could.
The cigar. But so realistically, I mean, okay, so let's just, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean to any Devils fans that are probably not listening to this, but I really don't think you guys were in the running. I mean, maybe you were. I don't know what you think. I mean, I don't know.
You could sell the future outlook, and you know they did
yeah,
make
Taylor
the
Hall,
splash.
Taylor Hall.
Yep, Taylor Hall. But I think overall, you know, if you're looking to establish yourself in the top six position, which VC said he was, and you know he's used to the spotlight. Let's face it, he played at Harvard. He was the captain, as you mentioned. He won the Hobie Baker, so he's big, used to the big lights and the bright spots. And I think it was always going to be one of those major markets, major towns. And I don't think the Devils are really in it.
So there we go. Rule out the Devils. The next obvious choice in some people's minds is Boston. The kid's from Boston. He played at Harvard. Everything's going for him there. The only thing not going for him is they're not a very good team.
They're not very good.
And, you know, I think the kid wants to win. Who doesn't want to win? I think they were ruled out pretty early in the running, so we'll just, I don't know if you have anything else to say about that, but I just like to eliminate them.
Not really. I just like how their agent, up until the last second, made sure to, you know, keep all the Boston fans... Keep them positive, you know, saying we had a shot, but I really don't think they did.
And VC himself kept us hanging, saying, oh, I want to stay close to home. Everyone's thinking, okay, well, Chicago's out of the mix. New York's kind of far from Boston. I don't know. Maybe he will sign with Boston.
Yeah.
But
speaking of making us wait, how about the timing of the announcement? What did he dropped it on a Friday at about 6 p.m.?
It wasn't quite the LeBron James going to Miami, but no. It was nerve-wracking for a while.
For
there.
Sure. It was.
But, so, all right, Boston's out. So now we got pretty much the three teams we thought we were going to have. We got Chicago, we got the Rangers, and who am I missing?
That's more or less it, I think.
Okay.
You know, I don't think
and Buffalo. Buffalo.
I think Buffalo is more by default because of the fact that they traded for his rights. He felt that, you know, he had to do right by them. They went out of their way. They lost the draft pick in all this, which, you know, classic Buffalo move, but I don't think they were actually in it. I really do think it was Chicago and the Rangers, and
so Toronto. Toronto's interesting in my opinion. I mean, they have tons and tons of young talent. They have a great organization with Shanahan and Lamoriello. I mean, that's a great team, but are they going to be great in the next 5 years? Nobody really knows.
It's a big question mark.
And the other thing is, I mean, you have Austin Matthews is obviously the number one prospect. Everyone's looking to him score all the goals, be the guy that kind of guides them on their way. And then number two is going to be VC for sure.
Yeah.
He's going to have all the pressure on him. Does he really want to go into that kind of situation? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I mean, Toronto's a great hockey town, but I don't think he wants that much pressure
on him. No. I also don't think he likes the idea of being a clear number two in the system. You know, I think he wanted to feel like the team that he was going to select really valued him, really had a top six position for him. I think that was very important. And Austin Matthews, you know, we're talking about VC here. Austin Matthews is a generational type prospect. He made the world championship team without playing a second of NHL hockey. That's impressive. I don't think VC wanted to, you know, sit behind him and watch. But very happy with the decision. So
Toronto's out.
That was a surprise.
As we mentioned earlier, Chicago, you know, Patty Kane, John Toews, but that's it. It's the Rangers. So what is it? I mean, is it just the city spotlight? Is it his best friend, Kevin Hayes?
Hazy.
Is it Hank and Nett? I mean, one of the best goalies in the league year in and year out. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it can't be understated how important, you know, the way that an organization takes care of their players. Like, I know him and Hayes, obviously, they probably speak all the time. They're best friends. They go back. But I'm sure Hayes was in his ear, too, just telling him, you know, the Rangers are all class. You can be a Devils fan, an Islanders fan. You can hate the team. But everyone that's ever played for the New York Rangers has always spoken about how classy of an organization they are. You know, they put their players' needs first. And I think that had to play a part. I mean, I'm sure they went into that meeting well prepared. They knew what they were going to say.
I think there's two other things that are definitely worth talking about. First being the Harvard. He played at Harvard for so long. He's played at MSG for all the Beanpot games and all that stuff. He knows the vibe. He knows how it feels. The second thing I'd like to say, and if you're listening to this, I give you high praise. I think you were the reason he signed. The owner of Blarney Rock Pub did say on Twitter one of these days that if VC signed, he would give him unlimited food every day for as long as he was a Ranger. And I think that had more to do with the signing than you think of, so I appreciate that.
Little unknown fact there. Little investigative work.
I saw that a couple days ago, and I was like, well, if he's getting free food every day, I mean, he's got to sign, right? Yep. He's got to. But
also, if Liam Neeson is making a personalized video,
true,
that's tough to turn down.
And with that being said, all the athletes in New York and celebrities in New York that sent out those Twitter comments to VC, you don't know if it really mattered or not, but it couldn't hurt.
Exactly,
it couldn't hurt to feel welcomed in New York.
What you do know is that he saw them. Anyone that's verified on Twitter, any message they send is immediately it shows up on the phone. So you know he saw them, whether it played in or not. You know. Who knows, but didn't hurt. It didn't hurt.
So, I mean, that's basically the VC sweepstakes there. We won, which, you know, with the Rangers, it hasn't been too great of a... We're not exactly a winning organization of late, but we won this sweepstakes. So hopefully it'll prove
it out. It is. It really, really is enormous. It really does change the outlook, in my opinion, on the season and the future.
It feels a big hole that you would have had to either put a rookie in or someone who's unproven. Now you have, you know, a college superstar who's technically unproven, but he's proven himself in college. And if he can translate even half of what he did in college into the pros, it's going to be a great sign.
True. And you know what? I think his skill set will translate incredibly well. He's got the body. He's 6'2", 205. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not slow by any means. And the vision. Yeah, it's kind of a perfect fit, I would say, for this team needing a little bit of size, a little bit of skill.
And he has talent around him. That's one of the other things going to, like, Toronto or something like that. He was going to have growing pains with Toronto. I mean, he's going to be surrounded by players who maybe can't play that well. I mean, if they pair him up with Austin Matthews, maybe they have some chemistry. But, I mean, the Rangers have established talent that he can be put around. We got Zibanejad now out there. Rick Nash, I mean, who knows what he's going to give us year in and year out. But hopefully a good year this year. Stepan, USA legend, you know. You got all these people around. Zuccarello. So you have all these people. But that being said, think we should talk some stats. What do you think?
We should probably get into the stats.
You know, I'm not huge on numbers, but you got to talk stats when this kid has such a good college year. So, his junior year at Harvard, he played 32 games. Just take this in for a second. Actually, sorry, he played 37 games. He had 32 goals in 37 games in college. That's pretty crazy. And not only to mention, he had 26 assists.
That's an incredible year.
So the fact that he didn't win the Hobey Baker that year is kind of surprising. And he's a plus 23, so you can't even say he's defensively liable.
No.
So, I mean, he has no holes. And then his senior year, when he wins the Hobey Baker, he's 24 goals in 33 games and just 22 assists. You know, just throw that in there.
Yeah,
the kid can pass too.
Cool, 46 points in 33.
And then he's a plus 11. So, I mean, still, again, not totally defensively liable. We've read in some websites that he gets a little lazy in the defensive zone, but what young player who's really good at scoring goals isn't defensively liable?
You've got to expect a little inconsistency.
And that's you grow with that. So, I mean, I don't know. Realistically, what do you expect from him next year? I mean,
that's
in the pros.
Okay. So, rookie year in the pros. Like you said, you know, they are going to look to play him with some established guys, I would think.
And we'll talk about that.
We'll get into the lines a little bit
later. But just raw numbers, what we
think. Just pure numbers. What I would be happy with, I would go with 22 goals and 25 assists. I think that would be a really solid year.
So almost 50 points.
Around 50 points. Okay. Hovering around 50.
Okay. And that's likely on the third line.
That's on the second or third line. So maybe some power play time too.
But what you would like, is that what you expect, or is that a different number? Because a lot of times that can be a different number.
Well,
so,
being a Rangers fan, you know, you have to lower your expectations a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I think he could hit 20 goals. I really do. I think you know, there's been a lot of hype, and I don't know if it's even possible that he lives up to the entire hype. But I think that 20 goals is a solid number for a rookie. I think he's got the talent and the guys to do it. I really do. What about you? What numbers would you be happy with?
I mean, I didn't really know all that much about him until I started about a week ago hearing about the sweepstakes going on.
Yeah,
the Vessi watch. I started watching some highlights. I mean, you know, you take it for a grain of salt. It's in college, but the kid can score goals. I saw a highlight of him scoring a backhand goal from the hash mark.
Yep.
You can score a backhand goal from a hash mark on any college goalie, you have some talent.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the moves he can make inside, I mean, realistically, I put him at right around 20. I would say 20 plus or minus 3. I don't think he'll put up 25. I mean, I would be surprised if he put up 25 goals.
That would be ideal.
I think he'll hover right around 20. He'll put in 20 to 25 assists. I don't really see him being a superstar right off the bat, which I believe, you know, who can be a superstar right off the bat in their rookie year, but
very few people, yeah.
The other thing is I think he will originally get put with like Hayes and another, you know, bottom two pairing type forward. I don't think he's gonna play with Rick Nash or Zuccarello. So he might not have 50 assists or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think he'll contribute, and I think that's what matters now. Hopefully his second year he can come out even bigger. And then from there, God willing, the Rangers can keep some cap space for once in their life and actually sign this kid to a deal.
It'd be a pleasant surprise, yeah, for sure.
Granted, he has good years, which I think everyone would be shocked if he has a bad year.
Agreed. I totally agree with that. You know, you look at Kevin Hayes' numbers for his rookie year. Rangers fans remember them very well, especially in light of how poor he performed last year.
I wish I didn't remember.
Exactly. Unfortunately, yeah, but we'll get back to that. But Kevin Hayes had a really success. I think everyone would agree it was a very successful rookie year. You know, he was a very similar situation. Came out of college, he was drafted, but then he never signed a contract. There was a sweepstakes with the Rangers. Again, surprisingly, won that one. I didn't expect them to win that one either. And so
that
he came in.
Even, that one came out of nowhere, even more than the Vesey.
It did. Hayes, you weren't even hearing about the Rangers at all.
Nothing.
So he put up in 79 games. He put up 17 goals and 28 assists for 45 points in his rookie year. And I think
which blew everyone away. Let's be honest.
It did blow.
I mean, no one
away.
Expected that.
No, not that. Not that. Those
and this,
are great
and this
numbers.
Is Hayes never won a Hobey Baker.
Exactly.
I mean, he was always kind of the second player to Johnny Gaudreau. Like, Johnny Gaudreau was the Hobey Baker, I believe, his senior year. Hayes' senior year.
That's right.
I have to double check on that, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, The thing, too, that I always find funny about this, which, sorry to cut you off, but his second, Hayes' second year, he put up stats very similar to his first year. But the reason everyone was so frustrated with him is because everyone expected him
Welcome
to do
to
so
New
much
York.
Better.
Welcome to New York.
So you take a guy, like you said, who scored 17 goals, 28 assists, in 79 games his rookie campaign, and his sophomore, I guess you call sophomore slump year, even though it was very similar, 14 goals and 22 assists, and everyone's saying, where's Hayes? He hasn't showed up. This is what I worry about VC, the same thing. Say he comes out and has a phenomenal rookie year. 25 goals, which pushes everyone's expectations. 25 assists, 50 points. Everyone's like, this kid's going to be the next Patty Kane, blah, blah, blah. He comes out the next year, he scores 21 goals, everyone wants to trade him. Which is true.
The overreactions. It's the classic. But I think you also have to look past the numbers a little bit.
True.
And I think you have to look into the day-to-day, shift-by-shift play of the player. Like, for example, I mean, a lot of times last year, Hayes was just caught. You know, he would be caught up ice. He would be lazy out there. A lot of times, Vigneault just kept him on the bench in the third because he's a liability out there.
So
that's one other thing you have to worry about a little bit with Vesey. But
and I've heard a lot of Rangers, and who knows what is it?
We're not sure.
Is it Vesey?
We're not sure here.
I'm going VC, but I don't know.
I think
it could be either. But the other thing I'd like to point out with Hayes is I hear a lot of people say he gets caught up in the wrong place at the wrong time, which like I agree he's defensively liable sometimes. People also say he's lazy. I don't know if I agree with lazy. I wouldn't really say any professional player is lazy. I mean, people have said like he has longer strides, so it looks like he's not skating hard. I don't believe either of those. I think it's. I wouldn't use the word lazy.
Poor positioning.
I would say poor positioning, and I would also just say frustration. Let's face it. If anyone's ever played hockey, there you make a bad play, you come out the next shift, you're not feeling so great. You get a little lazy, you get frustrated, you don't skate as hard as you can. I don't know. I mean,
no, that's part of the
kid's obviously trying.
Part of the progression of a young player.
He's a professional.
You can't.
He's going to play hard.
Exactly. You can't expect these players to come in and be perfect. I mean, you know, it's about how they react when they make a poor play or things like that. And you know, I was a little bit unsure about signing Kevin Hayes this offseason.
I agree.
You know, just because the numbers were down, and you know. There wasn't too
but,
much
but there we go again.
Positivity.
Down from the rookie year, but not a bad season, really.
You know, it was okay. It was all right.
I mean, I think it depends what you classify Kevin Hayes as. Do you classify Kevin Hayes as a top six forward? Because if you do,
no. That's
a pretty bad season. If you consider him a third line, probably like a third line winger or center, then, I mean, if you put a third or fourth line winger, which he played some fourth line last year, at 14 goals,
there was a reason for
that's,
that too.
That's a decent season, in my opinion.
For a fourth liner, yeah, and that is another point. The Rangers now, with the VC signing and the acquisition of Zibanejad, they have a little more depth than we're used to right
and they
now.
Have some, and they have some decisions to make as far as depth players.
They do now. They have too many options almost on the bottom pairings
and
bottom lines.
It really makes you wonder how Buchnevich sits into the whole lineup now, because
very interesting.
I mean. You think he comes out and has a? You would think he has a good camp. He gets a spot on the roster. Where do you put him now? Because in my opinion, Booch would have fit right into VC's spot. So now VC's here. He's going to start. You know that.
Yeah.
So Booch, now what? You can't really put him on a fourth line.
No, he's not a fourth line player. You don't want that. You can't have that. I think he needs to be protected. I think he needs to play with some experienced guys. First off,
yeah.
I don't want to see him come in and play with Jesper Fast and Lindbergh on the side. You know that would be just. That would be terrible for his development as a player, especially in making the transition from Russia to North America. Totally different.
And as we talk about a little bit of roster here, and a little bit of a side note, I mean, the big question everyone's always asking every day of the season, Tanner Glass. I mean,
Tanner Glass.
Listen.
It's not a question that AV's asking. AV knows his answer to that.
Listen, AV loves Tanner Glass, and you know, somewhat rightfully so. I mean, the guy plays hard. He has heart. He's not an offensive hockey player. He's just not. He's an enforcer. I mean,
quote unquote.
Yeah, supposed enforcer. I mean, I wouldn't really classify him as a threat on the ice as far as aggressiveness or
He might be. I would classify him as a threat to the Rangers' possession.
Yes, he is definitely a possession anchor.
Yes, he is.
There has been a few times last year that I obvious fighting situations. Tanner Glass isn't out there, but JT Miller drops the gloves, which annoys me, because if you're going to keep Glass around and not have him fight somebody and let Kreider and Miller fight people, that's a problem for me.
It's a big problem because
JT Miller is going to go out there and break his hand, and then boom, we lost 20 goals.
JT's out a couple months, and there's one of our top offensive producers. You can't have that on a good team.
So I think the gist of it here, this is more of a VC podcast, but you know, it's going to be, people are going to be jumping around the lineup. Training camp, I think, is going to be super important. We'll see where people end up. The big question mark for me is Tanner Glass. We'll see what happens with him. Also, Grabner and Gerby are now in the mix.
I like Grabner. I do.
Grabner, I think, gets a starting job for sure.
I think the speed alone, is. We were really lacking speed last year.
He, I think, is sort of the Rangers organization saying we screwed up with Hagelin and we need a speed man back.
Yep. He'll play for a lot less money too.
He'll be a very, very essential penalty kill guy. Hopefully, give us some shorthanded goals, which we had like none of last year. I don't know the exact number, but compared to the Hagelin years, very little.
True.
Anyways, we digress with the lineup. We'll get back to that another time.
That's another pod.
So back to VC. Let's talk a little contract. So, you know, going into the sweepstakes, every team was offering him the same, the max.
There was only one number.
Right. So like we mentioned earlier, I mean, it really came down to just the organization itself, the city, for VC to make a decision where he wanted to play for the next 2 years. Just quickly on his contract numbers. So everyone was offering him a two-year $925,000 contract, which is the entry-level max. The big thing to note here, though, is in performance bonuses, which we'll go over in a second, he can make an additional 2.85 per year. And that 2.85 can count towards the salary cap. The good thing here, which we found out, is that you can go 7.5% over the salary cap just on performance bonuses.
Yeah, you have the cushion there to go above the total number of the salary cap. But
right,
you know, that's a lot of money. They're going to have to really keep that in mind, as I'm sure, you know, all the backroom guys have already talked about this. They figured out where they need to be at certain dates with VC and the contract. And you know, also some of these numbers and incentives on within the performance bonus breakdown, they're probably going to look very similar to Kevin Hayes' numbers in the 2014 season when he first came into the league. He was signed also a very similar contract situation. And there he was set up to make $212,500 in performance bonuses if he finished in the top six of Rangers forwards in ice time per game, in the top six of Rangers forwards ice time total. That was another $212,000.
Which could potentially happen with VC if he has a good start to the year. I mean, he can get top minutes. So both of those numbers, I think, are doable.
Exactly. So you're going to have to factor. That's almost $500,000 right there.
Right.
Then there was another. Same number, $212,500. If he hit 20 goals,
which we're projecting hovering right around there,
we think that's pretty reasonable.
And I think most people would say he's going to be right around there.
And he'll hover. So
that's
you know,
a potential more money.
More
there.
Likely than not, I would say. Yeah. Another one for 35 assists in his rookie year,
which I think that's a little harder. I think
that's a little tougher. Also depends who his line mates are. Right. If he gets power play time,
right. Also depending on who he plays with. I mean, if he ends up playing with. You know, the Rick Nash we hope that comes out, he'll probably have a lot of assists. If he ends up playing with Stepan, who, you know, doesn't like shooting ever.
No, he's not a shoot-first guy.
Right, so if he plays with Stepan, he's probably not going to get 35 assists, but he might have 25 goals. So we'll see what happens with that. And then the next one, 60 points.
60 points total. That would be a lot. That would be a really, really good season.
Listen, if Jimmy VC in his rookie campaign can put up 60 points.
At the Garden.
Which is like Stepan numbers, pretty much, right? He puts up 60.
Just about.
A year. Yeah. I mean, if he can do that, I think we'd all be very glad to give him the $212,000 that he deserves.
Yeah.
So the next one, I think, is way out of reach.
That's unobtainable.
The next one is he'll make the $212,000 if he has a 0.73 points per game. So a couple weeks ago, I was looking at Panarin, who obviously, phenomenal year, and obviously playing with Kane. You know, playing with all those guys
who
cannot score.
The best players in the league.
Right, who cannot score a lot of points. But he had like a 0.83, and that's Panarin on a phenomenal year. So I really doubt VC comes in at a 0.73. I doubt it.
I don't see it. I don't see it happening.
Then again, though, you never know.
You never know.
I'll be real happy if he does.
True. I don't think any Rangers done that in quite some time.
actually. Yeah, we'd have to look that up. I don't know.
Rookie or not, anybody. Maybe Rick did in the year he scored 42.
Which yeah.
Might have been a dream.
I don't think that really happened.
I don't remember it anymore. Might not have.
After last year, I don't remember it at all.
But that's another pod. Then, you know, the final three numbers. So you make the 212,000 if you finish in the top three for New York Ranger forward plus or minus rating. That's another question mark. I would lean towards probably not for that one.
Yeah, I mean,
that's tough to do.
And in my projection, I think he's probably going to end up playing with younger players. I mean, in my opinion, I think VC has to play with Hayes. I don't think how.
Agreed.
I couldn't see how you could, look around that natural chemistry. I mean, they're best friends. They've been best friends forever.
Yep.
I mean. They have to have some sort of chemistry on the ice just because they know each other.
The rapport off the ice, you would hope, would translate at least somewhat on the ice.
Yeah. I mean, and that being said, I think we mentioned it before, but Hayes, I'm assuming, had a large part to do with him actually signing here.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm sure he told him, like we said, all about the organization, all about all the fun they have in the city, which I'm sure they have tons of fun going out and whatever else they're doing. I mean, Hayes has got to be... Yeah, Saturdays are for the boys, you know. Who knows what they do on Saturdays. But we'll shout out to Barstool there. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
So that you know, that's possible. Also depends, again, on power play time. Because, you know, if you're putting up power play points, well, generally, you know, you're scoring more points than you're giving up on the power play. At least you would hope so.
Mm-hmm. And the last two are just...
We would be literally pretty amazed.
Just pipe dreams.
Yeah.
I mean, so the next two is if he's selected to and or plays in the All-Star game, which, let's be real, I mean...
That's unlikely.
Unless this dude puts up 30, you know... Well, actually, I guess not 30 because it'd be halfway through the season. But if he puts up 20 halfway through the season...
Yep. It would take a lot.
He'll make an All-Star game.
It would take a lot.
And the next one is just completely... unbelievable.
Jimmy VC is 2017 NHL All-Star Game MVP.
So sad to say it, but I think that 212,000 is just, you're just not going to make that, Jimmy. Sorry.
No.
You're not going to be the All-Star.
Hey, it looks nice on paper. MVP All-Star Game. Those are more numbers on paper.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but yeah, I mean, so that's basically Jimmy VC in a nutshell.
That's Jimmy VC. We're excited. We think you should be excited. I'm sure you are excited.
Yeah.
Not sure you were expecting it. We certainly were not, but...
Nope.
It's a pretty phenomenal look to get a young guy coming out of 4 years of college. You know, he was the captain. He's got the NHL build. He's got the pedigree.
I mean, the thing that I think is more important in this, I mean, obviously having a good player for the next 2 years and a young player that's talented is great. I think that everyone sort of overshadows what Jeff Gordon has been doing. I mean, I think people appreciate it, but listen, like, think about the last 10 years. You have Glenn Sather. Listen, he's made some real bad decisions. He's also made some pretty decent decisions. But his MO is win now, but win now with top paid superstars, huge contracts.
Back into their 30-plus year old deals.
Correct.
Yeah.
Usually underperforming, usually.
Generally.
I mean, look at Wade Redden. You know, never forget. Never forget. That's all I'll say.
Classic.
And Rick Nash, who, you know, really aside from 2 years ago... He's been pretty much a flop, let's be honest.
I don't know that I can agree with that.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, you know, you look at the contract number alone, and he's not performing as well as he should be. For a guy making that much money, I think he's the 13th highest paid player in the entire hockey league.
And the second on the Rangers, deservingly so to Hank, obviously.
But that's another issue. But, you know, I think if you look at the actual tape, he is our most consistent forward. He's our best forward. I think he's not only a two-way guy...
Well, but overall, because last year, I mean, Brassard last year was our best player, hands down.
I disagree with that. I think Brassard, you could argue he was our best offensive player last year.
Okay.
But if you look at the tape and the numbers, he was horrendous defensively. There was no defense on his part, or Zuccarello, which is part of the reason that, you know, they get exposed so much.
And part of the reason Hank had one of them.
And why
there's not a great
so
year.
Much pressure on Hank and on the back end, which is a whole other topic.
The back end.
We don't want to go there in this positive episode.
But
yeah, you know, I just, it's hard for me to say, to call him a flop. I know that, you know, he's underperformed drastically in the playoffs especially. But it's just hard. It's hard for me to just go out and say he's been a flop. You know, I mean, obviously you look up to the heavens a lot because he's missing open nets and everything else, and there he is.
God, but, we just brought up a picture, a picture of fucking Rick Nash.
Just cheesing,
making $7.9 million a year.
Retract what I just said, but
jeez. And I mean, listen, this is my argument on it. The guy makes $7.9 million, right? You know, he doesn't score a ton of goals this year. 2 years ago, he had a great season. My thing is, this guy's playing the penalty kill, and granted, he's a good penalty killer.
He's a very good penalty
killer. And we can thank Team Canada for that, because they put Team Canada in the Olympics, and Sochi put him on the penalty kill, and he really blossomed there, which is great. But listen, I am not paying anyone even close to $7.9 million to be my best PK guy. That's what Grabner does. Grabner's a great player, no offense to Grabner, but he's a penalty kill speed guy. Rick Nash needs to be a top-line winger for once in his life. Well, not once in his life. Since he's left Columbus, minus the 1 year with the Rangers, he needs to be a top player. He needs to score 30 goals, hands down. Shouldn't even be a question.
I don't disagree with that. I think he's underperformed a little bit on offense, for sure.
And we've said time in and time out about the Rangers. What do we say about the Rangers players? The Rangers team is filled with players who underachieve.
Yes, that tends to be what happens.
And anything I say about Ranger stats, period, I just like everyone to know, is barring Lundqvist.
Yeah.
Lundqvist is a completely different stat category. Yeah. You can't even put him in.
As the listeners, I mean, I'm sure they know.
Who was the last forward, or defenseman, actually? Now, let's not put defenseman. Who was the last forward, because you can argue McDonough's been phenomenal, which I agree. Who was the last forward?
Girardi's,
let me tell you, he's performing. Let's just end it at that. Who is the last forward that you said has really overachieved? Minus Rick Nash, that 2 years ago. Dude, no.
You could say Kevin Hayes is rookie year.
Okay.
But it depends on the scheme and you know what your definition of overachieve is based on the stat. You know, if you want a guy scoring 40 goals, we don't usually ever have that. I think we've seen that twice. You know, shout out to the great Jaromir Jagr.
Jagr was class of his own. Back in a heartbeat.
Class of his own. It's an honor to watch him play still.
Jeez.
However, you know, I would just say maybe Hayes, but that's because we had no expectations for him his rookie year.
Right. I guess
you're right in that point, because Rick Nash, you know, you do have the expectations. You're being paid royally.
I guess more of what I'm going at, and I'm pretty sure we've talked about this before in length. You go around any team in the NHL, and viewers, I mean, pause this and do this. Write all 30 teams down, right? And next to the team name, write the one player where you're going to be able to say, this kid could score a goal at any moment, any big moment, we can count on this guy, right? Go through everyone. Who's the Rangers player that does that? And don't even tell me it's Rick Nash, because it's not. So in my opinion, I'll let you speak in a second, because I know you're... He's giving me the eye right now. He wants to say something. But
go
through any team. Okay, so Chicago, Patty Kane. You know, you go through any team, do it. And the Rangers I come to and I go, let me think about this. Maybe Brassard, he's gone. So who's my player? I guess Zuccarello, but
not a
goal
scorer.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, Zuccarello,
great
love him.
Player,
one of my favorite players out there. But if I'm putting the puck on his stick with 30 seconds left to score a goal in overtime, I'm not feeling all that great, let's be honest. I mean, when you have guys, you know, on other teams, you got Tarasenko, all these other players.
I mean,
Sagan, Crosby, Ovechkin, go through all the teams. I just hit a bunch of teams in the Metro.
Yep.
Who do the Rangers have?
They don't. You know, they don't have that guy. That's a whole other issue.
Hey, maybe it's Jimmy Vesey.
It could be Vesey.
Maybe it's Vesey.
It could be. Could very well be.
Hopefully sooner than later, but honestly.
Yeah.
Who's your Ranger that you'd say, I want the puck on his stick in an overtime game?
Who do I want?
Who would you want?
I would take Rick Nash.
Rick Nash.
Yes.
Okay.
And just hope. I mean,
I don't agree with that, but...
Who do you take at this point?
I go Zuccarello, but...
He's not that guy, though. As much as I love him, he's probably my favorite player in the Rangers. He doesn't have the clutch goal-scoring gene. That's not his game. Zuccarello's on-ice passing ability, I don't think I've ever seen anyone that can make the kind of passes he's making
at 5'8".
Especially from his with his frame.
Yeah. At 5'8".
It's unbelievable.
At 5'8".
It's unbelievable.
I mean, yeah, he's
it's incredible. Almost it's pretty much unprecedented, actually. Maybe Saint Louis.
But you know, just a quick side note on Saint Louis. I watched a couple highlights of Saint Louis in the playoffs from when we got him.
Yep, I did the same thing.
What, 3 years ago, I guess now. He was I don't think anyone appreciated how good he actually was on the Rangers until he left.
Incredible.
He left a huge void in the Rangers when he left.
He did.
Also, I just like to shout out, too, I read something that VC was actually really, really excited to talk to Chris Drury.
That was a huge point.
Who I believe is in player development with the Rangers right now. And that was a big part of VC signing. So I'd like to say thank you to one of my favorites, Chris Drury. I actually loved Drew when he was here. I mean, I hate what he did to us in the Sabres, but...
That was really hard. That was really hard. You know, Drew's another guy you mentioned before, underperforming on big contracts. But that tends to be the theme. Can't really get away from that within the Rangers.
Anyways, the good thing here is Gordon has really been able to infuse a lot of young talent and make a really competitive team out of nowhere, whereas Sather sort of dug us a hole, I guess you could say, put us in a pretty big hole to try to climb out of. And in Gordon's rookie campaign, I mean, I don't really have anything bad to say about him. I mean, the only thing that you could argue, which every Rangers fan in the world has been saying for the last, you know, year and a half, is you got to dump Girardi, you got to dump Staal. Well, guess what? Everyone wants that to happen. Way easier said than done.
Yeah.
Obviously. But with what he's been given, the cards he's been dealt, I think he's done a pretty damn good job.
In Gordon, we trust. So far, he's really done everything that you could want from a brand new guy in the position. Plus, you're going from Sather, who was just obviously acting on impulse and throwing around Jim Dolan's checks, to a guy who clearly knows what he's doing, has a future outlook and a plan.
Which were most likely blank checks from Dolan, because, you know, he doesn't even know what the Rangers are, I don't think.
Yeah, he was looking up Melo's stats.
During the Stanley Cup, during the Kings, Dolan's sitting in the press box looking up how much he's got to pay Melo in the next couple years. But, you know, he doesn't care anything about the Rangers.
No.
But hey,
you know, it was a big get, you know, Jimmy VC.
So
very excited.
That's pretty much it here. I mean, I'm excited. I think,
I think it really turned up the heat, and now I'm counting down the days to hockey. Really,
I'm counting down the days to preseason and the World Championships.
Yep.
Football preseason just started, so that means right around the corner. Means it's hockey season.
It's coming. It's coming, finally.
So I'm pretty excited. I hope you enjoyed the first Real Talk Rangers podcast. Hopefully we'll have some more in the future. Stay tuned to the website. We're putting out articles here and there, and hopefully every week we'll put out a podcast.
Real Talk Rangers.
RealTalkRangers.wordpress.com. Check us out. We're on Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. And send us some comments or some things you like or don't like, and we'll try to answer any questions, too. If you send them our way, we'll answer some questions for you. And
absolutely.
That's pretty much it. I hope you enjoyed it, and stay tuned.
Yep, signing off.
Peace.